It's the Congressional Corner with Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, Democrat of Connecticut's beautiful 5th District. Elizabeth Esty, this is your last Congressional Corner, I think, although you're always welcome back as a guest. You're leaving the Congress. Any thoughts about that?
Well, I'm an eternal optimist, and I have to say, we shouldn't have talked about election night. We should be talking about election month, because as these races get decided, it turns out there was quite a large influx of new folks in the Democratic Party, and I think they will help make a real difference and are going to be important at a time when, frankly, the country's being challenged. And I'll use as one example on an issue near and dear to me, and I know to you, on gun violence prevention.
Sure.
Lucy McBath, who I've gotten to know over the last 5 or 6 years, whose son, Jordan, was shot and killed at a gas station in Florida in 2012 because the loud music in his car was threatening to a man, apparently, enough, who shot him through the window of the car. She got elected to Georgia's 6th seat. That was the one there was that huge special election with John Ossoff and, you know, $25 or $30 million was spent on the Democratic side alone, and he lost. Well, Lucy McBath won, and she will be a powerful voice for what is the cost of urban violence, not just mass shootings, but the urban violence every single day.
You know, that, Elizabeth Esty, that is some story. Now, just for clarification, she's a Democrat, right?
She is a Democrat, African-American, was a flight attendant for years, a good church lady, deeply devout. You can have a chance to learn more about her story if you get an opportunity to see the Abigail Disney documentary called Armor of Light, which reflects on her friendship with Reverend Schenck, who's an evangelical preacher, very anti-choice. But the two of them have come together over preventing gun deaths in this country. So she's the sort of person who got inspired to run this year. There are a whole raft of women, a number of whom I got a chance to see last week, who were in Washington for new member training. A lot of former military, CIA agents, folks who worked in the State Department. There are some tremendous women in particular who were inspired to run for the first time in their lives for anything, but who ran this year because they felt that the country wasn't living up to its ideals. And I find their not only their personal stories inspiring, but what they bring, the value set that they bring, and their demonstrated commitment to a better country, I think really can help change what is happening now and help bring us together and be our best selves. And that's what I've been so distressed about the last couple of years, but makes me encouraged about what I see going forward.
So what advice did you offer the newbies when you had a chance to talk to them?
The best advice I got was this, and I got this advice from John Dingell, who's the longest-serving member of the House of Representatives. And he said, Elizabeth, know your district, vote your district. That your job is to represent those people, and it's your job to understand what they need and what they want. And your job is not to leadership or a political party, but it is to those people that you have the honor to represent. Other advice of his, which I think is very important, is that your word is your bond. You have to be willing to stand up for things, and you explain why you're doing what you're doing, but you have to be able to look yourself in the mirror the next morning, whatever vote you take. Not be judged by the moment, but be judged. Really be thinking about being judged by history. It's an awesome and amazing thing. Only 12,000 people have ever served in the U.S. Congress. Only 1,000 women have ever served in Congress. That is an awesome and amazing opportunity. And you should also, the last piece of advice I gave was try to enjoy it. Try to savor some aspects of it, because it's an amazing, incredible thing to be part of American democracy.
So what are you going to do when you leave?
Well, I am taking a step back to reflect. Those who know a little bit about me know that I seriously contemplated going to divinity school and maybe becoming a minister. And I'm going to be taking a sabbatical. But in part, that's a time of discernment to sort of figure out where I'm needed next. I got involved in politics because of a desire to make things better. I know that sounds corny, but it's true. In my case, my initial focus was really around public education. And to figure out where I'm needed now, where can I make a difference with where the world is now, where the country is now, where my state is now. But with the experiences that I've been blessed to have over the last 13 years in elected office, and how can I use the totality of my life experience in ways that are going to make a difference going forward? And I don't know the answer to that yet.
Do you expect to come back to politics?
I expect to be involved in policy, in public policy, which I care deeply about. Elected politics, it is very hard for me to imagine doing that again. My focus at this point is finishing strong, making sure that that I'm able to hand things off well to Johanna Hayes, who I'm in frequent contact with, and helping give whatever help and advice I can as she is getting set to take over this district and have the opportunity to continue serving the folks of this district, and then have a chance to think about what to do next.
You know, you're one of my favorite people that I've interviewed in this series, and that's a lot of people. So I have a question for you. There was this business that you didn't react strongly enough to some wrongdoing on the part of one of the men who worked in your office. To me, I hated to see you quit. And I'm wondering, any second thoughts about having quit?
No, I'm somebody, life and politics in particular is all about timing.
Sure.
No, we have a wonderful person who's been elected by the folks of this district to represent them in the U.S. Congress, and she's moving forward and I'm moving forward. And you know, these are also hard jobs. It's been an incredible honor, but I have a mother with Alzheimer's who I haven't seen very much over the last 6 years. I'll be seeing her tomorrow when I fly to California. You know, there's an opportunity to regroup, reconnect more with my family, my friends, and see how I can, you know, make a difference going forward.
Before you, there was Chris Murphy, who was the congressman. We interviewed him often. Now, the senator, would you like to see him run for president? We only have a minute to answer that one.
I'd like to see a lot of good people test themselves with the public. You know, I think this is absolutely a point at which Chris has, who I've known for a long time, is immensely talented and persuasive. There are a lot of people who are talking about running. My classmate, Beto O'Rourke, is thinking about that. I talked with him on Friday. Another classmate, John Delaney, already is running, and George Will ran a big piece on him today. I'll be interested to see who throws their hat in the ring. But at the end of the day, it ought to be the voters and American people who make that decision, not other politicians. I strongly believe that, and I'll be as interested as anybody to see who's catching fire with the American people.
It's always wonderful to talk to our pal, Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, Democrat of Connecticut's 5th District. They should be playing Auld Lang Syne now, Elizabeth, because we're going to miss you having you on the program, and we're inviting you back as a special guest often. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Alan.